the asterisk next to gospel lesson, indicating that you would stand, but I trust that y'all can follow instructions even without them being written down. So out of reverence for God's holy word, would you please stand for the gospel lesson, which comes to us from Matthew 3, verses 1 through 12. Hear now the word of God. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Such a cheerful note in this season of Advent as we look toward Christmas. The fact of the matter is there's warnings everywhere, and you have to sign waivers for everything. I started to Covington Thursday night, late Thursday afternoon, actually, to be there on Friday. And I got a frantic phone call from Christy and Mark, Lily Grace's mom and dad. "We're stuck in traffic. We're coming home from Nashville. Lily Grace has to be at the school at 5:45 for her Christmas sing. Can you pick her up from my mother's," Christy said, "and meet us at the school? She has to have a Christmas outfit. We're going to drop by the house, pick that up. I'll change her in the bathroom, and we may just make it." That wasn't what I had planned to do Thursday night, but off I went and picked Lily up. I called her other grandmother and said, "Brush your hair. Lord knows it won't be brushed if you don't do it. And wash her face, and I'll pick her up. Have her standing outside, because we barely got time to make it." I got there at 5:40, took her to her classroom, and then I went to the gymnasium where this program was going to happen, watching all the time for her mother and dad to bring her Christmas outfit. When I got there, there was a sign-in table. You have to sign Lily Grace in, and so I did that in the classroom that I deposited her, which was not her classroom, but somebody else's classroom, and I wasn't real sure we were in the right place. And then I went to the gymnasium and had to sign her in a second time, and I did that, started to my seat, and the teacher there said, "Wait, you have to sign a waiver." I said, "A waiver?" "Yep, you're not her mother and father, so you have to sign a waiver." "Okay." And then two or three other grandmothers came in. I knew they were grandmothers. They didn't have to sign a waiver. And I said, "Why do I have to sign a waiver and these other grandparents don't have to sign a waiver?" And the teacher said, "Didn't you bring Lily Grace?" "Yes." "You have to sign a waiver." Not exactly sure why until a little bit later. Her parents came flying in they had already dressed her in a restroom someplace, and behind her parents came her sister and her brand new brother-in-law, which I thought was a great thing for an older sister to do, to come to school to hear younger sister sing. I said, did they make y'all sign a waiver? And Jenna, without blinking or even, without even a second thought, said, no, we didn't bring her, so you have to sign the waiver. I signed the waiver. So afterwards, it was, let's go get something to eat. I knew that was coming. I knew it was coming. And I said, okay, where do y'all want to eat? We forgot that on Thursday nights during Advent in Covington, the square is completely open, and it's shopping, and it's carolers, and it's all kind of things. Well, we couldn't get in Amici's or Your Pie or Bread and Butter or any of those places. But Lily Grace had already said, it's my night. I really sang this time, and I want to go to the Irish pub. That's when I decided, now I know why I had to sign a waiver. But it was the only place we could get in, and she wanted to do karaoke there. The problem is she wanted everybody in the family to do karaoke with her when we got there. And I said, Lily, I'm too old. She said, you're never too old. And I said, well, go ask him if we can sing Amazing Grace. And Mark said, I'll buy you ice cream at Scoops if you don't make a sing. So we got through with all of that, and the waiver finally made sense to me. But everywhere you turn, it is warning, warning, warning. We are never without warning. Do not enter. Not an exit. Smoking is dangerous for your health. Imagine that. Slow down. Stop. Drive like your children live here. All warnings. They just come from everywhere. And some of them seem so silly that you have to giggle about them, but you know if the warning sign is on the product that somebody has done it and then tried to sue because they were idiots. Like the sign in the RV that says, caution, caution, do not leave wheel to make a sandwich when RV is in motion. Really? Show us a few you found on the net, Alexis. Never get under this truck if the engine is running. Don't put your hair dryer in the bathtub with you. Contains peanuts, not suitable for nut and sesame allergy sufferers due to the methods used in the manufacture of this product. See, that more and more can't even have peanut butter cookies at school anymore. Peanuts, 100% ingredients. Yeah. Do not iron while wearing shirt. Now, I've done that. That one's not quite so crazy, because if I'm wearing a pullover sweater or sweatshirt and I just need the cuffs ironed, I'll just pull my hand up and put the cuff down and while I'm wearing it, because I didn't know it was that wrinkled when I put it on. Don't close your baby up in a Tupperware. Doug, don't ever let them put you in Tupperware and close it up. A couple of warnings. Here's the most famous warning of all. You'll recognize
Will Robinson,
it.
Danger. No, Will Robinson, danger.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger. John the Baptist is issuing the warning of warnings, and there's nothing silly or funny about this serious warning. John the Baptist is warning us of life and death, and it is here, right here, as we get ready for Christmas. The whole creation is moaning in labor pains for the birth of this Christ child to take place. And here comes the Baptist, dressed in camel's hair and wandering in the wilderness and shouting the warning. He had to be the original rebellious teenager. I don't know if any of you have teenagers or have raised teenagers beyond teenage years, but they can wear some of the most outlandish things ever I have seen. I never have been much of a fashion expert, but I know what feels right to me, and that's what I usually wear. But my granddaughters, there are times that they leave home that I look at their fathers and say, are you going to let them leave like that? Well, it's acceptable at school. Warning, Will Robinson, if they leave dressed like that, warning, make them put on some clothes that is way too much skin. To which both of my sons reply, well, we dress like that. No, you did not. Not from my house. Not unless you got in the car and changed clothes. You didn't. Go put clothes on or don't go. Teenagers are prone to dress on the edge. John is saying, this rebellious teenager that he probably was, dressed in camel hair, wandering in the wilderness and eating locusts, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. And he's calling church people, of all people, he's calling the church people of that time a brood of vipers. Tells them, don't think you have all the answers. Warns them that just because they're Pharisees and Sadducees and just because they are Hebrews does not make them righteous. Still, that warning rings down through the centuries to us. Told them that he baptized them with water for repentance. But the one who was more powerful comes after him and really was before him, and they're supposed to work that out and know what that means. Now, if you think that's hard, you're right. What does that mean? And when we sang, lo, how a rose e'er blooming, I was paying attention to the words of that song. Anybody want to say what all those words mean? Because it's not our modern day English. A night half spent. I would assume that means about midnight. You see, we sing them, we say them, we even voice them in creeds, but sometimes we have no idea what all those words mean. He told them that the Holy Spirit would baptize them when this powerful one comes along after him, and they had no idea what he was talking about. And if they didn't know and follow the Lord of Lords, this baby born in Bethlehem, the light of the world that was coming, the one who came to show us how to love, would not put up with the laws that they had created that served no one but themselves. Warning. Warning. He said it this way, bear fruit worthy of repentance. Now, what that means is that we need to love everybody. It means we need to be good to everybody, whether they deserve it or not. It means to do work for Christ. It means to spread the good news. It means to open the doors of the church, his church. It means to sign the waiver because everybody, even if they are different, is a child of God. That's what it means. And they didn't know then what it meant. And sometimes today we still don't know what it means. It's so simple, Lily Grace can understand it and explain it to us. But it's so profound that the Pope may not be able to unpack it for us. This is something that has to be shared between your heart and the Holy Spirit. Warning, warning, warning. There is no room in God's kingdom for hate or prejudice or meanness or revenge. Most preachers like this text. They like to preach it. It's the one day of the year that many preachers really preach this hard nose, shoulda, coulda, oughta, because John is issuing the warning. Problem is, this warning is issued to church folks and probably to preachers because we don't have all the answers. We're not the only ones that are righteous. And some preachers deserve to hear the Danger Will Robinson point of this. Sometimes I feel like we are all a brood of vipers. Do you sometimes feel that you fall into the category that John the Baptist was talking to? I do have one answer, and it'll answer any question. Jesus Christ is Lord, has redeemed us, and teaches us how to love. Now, what you do with that is between you and God. Christmas is right around the corner, and Jesus is coming to forgive us, to redeem us, to save us, to teach us those things that make our lives worth living. He's on the way. You need to be preparing your heart for his arrival. You need to be ready. Your ears need to be cleaned out and opened. I like the way Jeff says quite often, listen with fresh ears. Get that junk out of your ears. And listen to what the Word is telling us. Jesus is coming to claim us as his own. Soon we'll be celebrating the birth of the King, and he will give order to all creation, and he will give an order to all creation, that his grace will save us, and nothing but his grace will save us. And we don't hear him. The Baptist is warning us that things are changing and no one is exempt from mercy and love and grace. It's available to every single one, but we don't always want it to be available to every single one because there are people that we know that don't deserve it. That would be each other. Not a soul deserves that kind of love or that kind of mercy or that kind of grace. John the Baptist is warning us that a new day's coming. New sheriff in town. New moon rising. Because the sun is coming. That Christmas day, the birthday of the Lord of Love, is changing our world and has been for centuries, individually and collectively. All the people from that day forward will have the opportunity to walk hand in hand with God Almighty. That's not a little thing. We can approach the throne of grace. We can read his holy word. We can share with each other. We can enter his house with thanksgiving in our hearts. The warning is for those who think they are the only ones who can get it right. Those people scare me, the ones with all the answers. The warning is for those who know that they are already saints, that they must move over for the rest of us who are merely sinners saved by grace. The warning is for those who want to be the only ones headed for eternity. I know some people who are not going to want to be in heaven if certain other people are there. Well, they need not worry about that. They won't be in heaven. This little baby boy is opening the doors to all God's children. I'm so excited that my waiver has been signed. I'm so excited that Lily Grace's waiver has been signed. I'm so excited that your waiver has been signed. The Baptist is warning us that love conquers all. No political motive in mind. Love trumps all. John the Baptist is warning us that the ground is very level at the foot of the cross and also at the cradle. Don't rush past the cradle. Stay. Hang around. Let the love of God flow over you. Smell the sweet hay. Linger a bit. Stop some of the chaos. Be at peace for a little while. The cross is coming. But don't rush past the cradle to get to a hill called Calvary. The Baptist is warning us that God is so good that all we have to do, in spite of all the laws that exist in all the world, all we have to do is love God first and love each other. And that, my friends, is a gift, the greatest gift, the best one you'll ever get. The thing about Christmas, and Lily Grace is the one who told me this. She said, Mom and Dad are going shopping. I said, yeah, what are they going shopping for? And she said, they're buying Christmas. Without me saying a word, she said, you can't buy Christmas. You can give Christmas. You can get Christmas. You can have Christmas. But you can't buy Christmas. You can't demand it. You can't put it on a list. You can't create it. You can only receive it and give it. This is the second Sunday in Advent, and I am here to give you a warning. Spending money is one thing, and of course we're going to do that. I more than most. It's a part of Christmas. To tell you to get away from the commercial is like telling you not to breathe. It surrounds us. It saturates us. It is part of the Christmas season. But let me see if you're willing to do this. Don't stress over it. Don't dread it. Don't try to create Christmas. But every dollar you spend in love. Let it be a small token of how you feel about somebody. Don't go in debt. Buy something that you think they might want, or make it, or bake it, or create it. Don't get caught up in trying to buy Christmas. Just love God first and everyone else. And if you'll do that, there will be peace, and you will have a very merry Christmas. Amen. Closing hymn this morning.